let's do the thing.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome to number 47.
We're almost there.
So close. I
can taste it.
No, that's just Thanksgiving dinner.
I didn't have Thanksgiving dinner because I stayed in Oregon while my family went to California.
Really, isn't that the thing you're most thankful for right now?
God blesses everyone.
My roommate texted me today already, and he was like, I'm not going to be home tonight. And I'm like, it's a Thanksgiving goddamn miracle.
I thought you liked your roommate.
I do like my roommate, but I also really like being alone.
Yeah.
Oh, man. How have you been, Mike?
I've been all right. This is probably my last week of freedom before job start.
Before the shackles of employment weigh you down.
Of course, we still don't know when I'm going to start because my background check stuff hasn't come through yet.
Well, all that time in Australia has made you a hardened criminal, so.
It has. I mean,
as we know, all Australians are criminals. This is an indisputable fact. If you're Australian, you're a criminal.
They were sent there by the British because they were criminals.
And as they have bred and spawned, they have raised their offspring in their criminal ways. It's just in their genes. You can't fault them for that. What a weird start this is. Think about it. Do you know a notable Australian who is not a criminal? The answer is no, because the first Australian that springs to your mind is Kano.
But he was, like, originally Chinese.
Hey, Japanese.
I thought it was Chinese. Anyway.
Who knows? I don't think even they knew. They were just like, he's Australian.
Either way, he wasn't Australian until the movie.
Yeah.
And then in the video game, they were just like, does anyone know what Kano is? Fuck it, he's Australian now. He was Australian in the movie, why not just run with it?
Sounds good. Oh, Mortal Kombat the movie. I keep, like, thinking about buying that on Blu-ray, but I can't bring myself to spend money to buy that a second time, even for Blu-ray.
Yet you're gonna buy fucking Eraserhead?
Eraserhead.
That is such a shitball fucking movie.
If I didn't buy things based on the premise that Mike thought they were shit, I would never buy anything.
No, this is beyond just like Mike doesn't like it shit. That movie is a steaming pile of shit. There is no redeeming factor in that fucking movie.
I can't even like argue out of this because I can't deny people who don't like it. Because I saw it on Hulu the first time I saw it with a friend of mine. She was a big David Lynch fan and she was like, you've got to see Eraserhead if you've never seen it. And the movie ends, and all it
fucking pissed me off. You need to see fucking Eraserhead. It's so out there and weird and cool. And then you watch it. No, it's just a fucking nightmare with a weird Yoshi baby.
See, like I would never force anybody to watch it. I would never be like, you need to watch this. You gotta fucking watch this. But I watched it, and I tell everybody, I was like, the way I felt when it was over was, I don't know what the fuck I just watched, but I really enjoyed that experience. I don't know what the fuck that experience was, but I enjoyed it.
No, my feeling at the end of watching that was, I need to go vomit.
I need a hot shower. Yeah, it's not a pleasant movie.
I need to vomit, and then I need to mail it to David Lynch with a big fuck you letter.
He'll just make a baby for Eraserhead 2.
David Lynch, what an overrated piece of shit he is, too. Fuck. Him and Stanley Kubrick can kiss my ass. Their movies are so artsy and cool and hip and fucking hipsters and your shitty movies. Go jump off a fucking bridge.
So I know we said, last week, this week was going to be our big Power Rangers spectacular because the finale happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure we're going to talk at length about the finale and was as best at length as you can about that turd.
It's not going to be the 2-hour spectacular we thought it was going to be because there was really nothing to fucking talk about in that finale.
I was watching and all I could think was, oh, well, this, yeah, okay. So with that in mind, though, before we get to Power Rangers, I feel there's something slightly more important we have to discuss, Mike.
What's that?
The debut of Broom in the WWE.
Broom?
Broom made it!
No,
fucking Sting! Yes. Fucking Sting.
Fucking Sting.
Fucking, it was so fun, because a few years ago, me and a friend of mine got together and with his cousin, and we all watched the Sting, like, bio docu bullshit that came out several years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, the Christian produced one. You've seen it, I'm sure.
I haven't seen it, no.
Oh. Well, there's all, it's
that's
like,
the one where Sting's just playing himself and a bunch of, like, non-union actors are playing, like, wrestlers in his life.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, there's all these kind of, like, scenes that are cut with, like, him wandering around through a backstage area with fog.
Mm-hmm.
To symbolize him being lost before he found Jesus. And it confused the shit out of my friend's cousin, because she didn't realize it was a Christian movie at first. She was like, "Oh, I thought you guys meant he was literally lost backstage, and that was the point of the movie."
It's like a Spinal Tapping. Hello, Cleveland.
And so, as soon as Sting showed up, I sent her a text, and I was like, "Took him 14 years, but he finally found his way out of that maze in the back." Yes, after 14 years, the Dirt Sheets finally got this one right. Sting made his debut at Survivor 14. Series.
Try 25. Even when WCW was still going strong, that was almost a monthly news thing. This month, Sting's jumping ship to WWF. Oh, he's not, you fucking idiots.
So, I mean, of course, if you follow our Twitter accounts for wrestling, at Raw Reactor and at NDM Wrestling, and why the fuck don't you? No, seriously, why don't you? Why don't you follow those Twitter accounts? You know that
I think the five people that listen to this podcast do follow those accounts.
You know that Mike and I, for the past, I'm going to say, years,
yeah,
like to throw out the kind of, it's Sting joke. Oh, man, who's that in the fucking suit? It's Sting! Sting's the bunny.
We can't fucking do it anymore.
I know. So Mike and I, of course, spend the entire Survivor Series pay-per-view making jokes like that.
Mm-hmm. And then it happens.
And then Sting comes out, and for like 20 minutes, it's just you and I tweeting in caps.
Mm-hmm.
Ah! He actually fucking did it! Ah!
But you know, like, aside from the Kevin Dunns who think that there's WWE programming and no other wrestling exists.
Yeah.
How cool was it to see a guy get that big of a reaction who's never been in the company, who people shouldn't know who he is,
yeah.
And it's like he didn't have to say a word. He came out, stood in the ring,
yeah.
Did his finish move on Triple H, and the place went fucking bananas, and the internet exploded, and it's like, this is something people have been waiting for a long, long time.
Right. And that was something I had to explain to somebody on fan forum, because they said, I don't get the big deal, he was a WCW guy who never signed with WWE. Big fucking deal. How does that make him different from some of those other guys? And I was like, no, you don't get it. It's not that he never defected to WWE. It's that Sting was like a name. You knew who Sting was in WCW, and he just never came to WWE. He became a name, and he stayed a name, and he did it without Vince McMahon, and that is impressive as shit.
Yeah, he's not like fucking Jerry Flynn. Or I'm trying to think of some other obscure WCW name.
And I know right off the bat, people will be like, well, I mean, you know, AJ Styles is a big deal. And, well, you know, some of those TNA, yeah, none of them are remotely close to the level Sting was.
Yeah.
Your kids aren't wearing AJ Styles shirts to school unless they're getting beat up every day.
Or unless they, like, went to a TNA show.
Yeah. But who's doing that? Well, they might be going to the TNA school. They are holding them in their high school gymnasium now. Oh! Oh, sorry, TNA. No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
But I am looking forward to their new show.
The Destination America show?
Yep.
Yeah, I will definitely be watching that. So, real quick, let's run down the Survivor Series card, because surprisingly, you and I got a lot of them right.
Did we?
Well,
I don't
no.
even remember. Did we do predictions? I don't think we did.
I think we, like, kind of did, and then at the end kind of were like, but Cena wins.
Yeah. The one big prediction that I got right fucking blew my mind.
Yeah, starting at the bottom of the card, Fandango came out and had a match with Justin Gabriel. It's A-plus time for Justin Gabriel, because he has been chosen to be Fandango's personal jobber. I think it was just they saw his pants and they were like, God damn it, Justin, go anywhere but here. Go, I don't know, into the ring and have a match.
Hey, Justin Gabriel's going to get to be on TV every week as they try to reestablish Fandango as Zorro.
Meanwhile, Zack Ryder's at home, not even washed his tights because he's had shoulder surgery. He can't even wash his tights.
He's only got one leg on the tight, so it makes it easy.
I did tweet out. I was like, Zack Ryder's at home training up hard, so when he comes back, him and Ryback can have that epic feud in catering. Feed me more, bro. No, feed me more, bro. Jack Swagger came out and defeated Cesaro by submission, even though he was too injured to compete with Team Cena. Logic. Too injured on Raw to compete with Team Cena, and yet had singles matches Wednesday on Main Event and at the actual pay-per-view.
You know, he was injured by the cutoff time.
Mm-hmm.
And like they weren't sure, so he had to be replaced, and you can't bring someone back once they've been replaced.
They've never added anyone to a Survivor Series match at the last minute.
Oh, you can't. It's against the rules.
Against the rules, and they never break the rules in the WWE.
And a countout is not a disqualification.
Nope.
Fuck and you, Jimmy Corderas.
And Triple H is the single greatest ring technician of our era. I may have made that a little unbelievable. I may have took that too far.
Hey, if Dusty Rhodes believes in Triple H, I believe in Triple H.
I believe in Goldust. Who was in our Fatal 4-Way Tag Match. Look at that transition. Which The Miz and Damian Mizdow won. Goddamn, Damian Mizdow.
Yeah, I don't know of any tag team where one partner has been as hated as Miz and the other partner has been as beloved as Mizdow.
I was glad to see them get it. Solid enough match. Again, the Usos and Los Matadores were really just there to kind of pad it out, so it wasn't a one-on-one match. But I did love the end with... I love that Miz is carrying both titles, and Mizdow is carrying two toy titles.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
He is the tag team champions.
He is the tag team champions. I was thinking that, too. Mizdow can't even argue with him because every time Miz holds up those titles and yells, "I am the tag team champions," Mizdow's too busy like mirroring what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I would like love a tag team with the Miz in it so goddamn much.
You don't love the tag team with Miz in it. You love Mizdow, and Miz without, just happens to be
that's,
there.
The thing, though, without the Miz in it, you wouldn't have the key element that makes the tag team so good, which is Mizdow mirroring the Miz. If they were just a tag team with, honestly, Sandow and anyone else, I probably wouldn't care that much.
Like Cody Rhodes?
Yeah. Cody Rhodes. I was like, Rhodes Scholars is going to be awesome. That's it? No, we're done? Okay, well, bye. All right.
It's going to be awesome until Money in the Bank when they turn on each other. And we never really get a resolution to that feud.
That, like, awkward couple weeks after that, too. We are still best friends. Like, oh, you fucking twats. Just fucking pull the trigger on this shit. And then Cody went and got married, and the next thing you know, he's dressed like a fucking can of energy drink.
But now he's a cherry-flavored energy drink.
Now he's cherry-flavored. I felt kind of terrible when you were when she came out and she did the call for the Divas tag match and you were like, "That's a mouthful," and I tweeted that like really awkward picture of Stardust. I was like, "Was that too far?" Nah, that wasn't too far. I make Chris Benoit jokes on the Twitter page. I don't think that's too far.
Yeah, I think people can handle the the Stardust blowjob joke.
You can't handle you don't handle a Stardust blowjob. You just experience a Stardust blowjob. The worst is when he's about to come and he goes and then just starts hopping around the room. God damn, Cody Rhodes, what did they do to you? And how did you get over with that? Next up, speaking of which, Divas Survivor Series tag match. I see a lot of people on the internet shitting on this match. I thought it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't think it was near as bad as everyone was saying it was. I mean, of course, like, you had more than half of the people involved are not really good wrestlers.
No.
Especially on the heel team.
No. But that paid off because at the end, I think they were just trying to break Paige's face in at the end there.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that to Paige.
Maybe they are getting ready to renew her face push.
I wish I could say that you're right, but it's like another thing that they've done with so many people in the past where they kind of debut them, they waffle them back and forth between kind of heel, kind of face, and then they just kind of bury them.
And then they put them on Total Divas and you never see them again.
Oh, we'll see a lot of her.
On Total Divas.
We'll see her on Raw, too.
Yeah, and the, like, Total Divas 8-woman tag matches?
Yeah, she'll still be
there. There's Paige! I'm like, that's the one I like. The cute, pasty one who doesn't get to do much anymore. Anyways, that was a really good Divas match. Everyone should definitely watch that. Next up, Bray Wyatt defeats Dean Ambrose by disqualification.
Good match with a really, really bad finish.
Yeah.
A really obvious finish considering the next pay-per-view.
This was, of course, the pay-per-view they did for free on the network. And so, of course, they had to immediately be like, we're going to do that match again at TLC. Please subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to those two in a TLC match. I imagine that will be really good. Unfortunately, it's still not the Attitude Era, so it will not be as... Excuse me. Good Lord. What the fuck? It will not be as good as it could be.
Yeah, it's like with Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
It's like you've got a former CZW champion in this match who 15 years ago there'd be buckets of blood everywhere. They'd be beating the dog shit out of each other. But it's the PG era. And he's not going to do what he can do.
Yeah. Goddamn. Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose cutting loose in a TLC match might be more interesting than Ambrose and Rollins cutting loose in a Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah.
There's a very real chance one of them would be, like, paralyzed. Next up, Adam Rose of the Bunny defeated Slater Gator. Nobody gives a shit.
Wait, was that actually on the pay-per-view?
Yes, it was.
I blocked it out.
Yeah, as you should have. Remember when it was like the Bunny's gonna be unmasked in like a month so Darren Young can come back? I don't think that's gonna happen now.
No, I think the Bunny is too over.
Which is the stupidest fucking thing.
Yeah.
I hope they reveal it's Hornswoggle sitting on El Torito's shoulders. That sounds about on par with what they do now.
It was gonna be Darren Young, but the internet figured it out, so guess what it's gonna be now?
It was gonna be Darren Young, but the internet likes him, so now... I can just stick Darren Young in New Day. Who, you remember you saw the ad, they were announced to make their debut on Raw this week.
Yeah, but they're doing it on SmackDown.
Yeah, they showed up on SmackDown. Fuck it, who cares?
Of course, the SmackDown match could be edited off TV.
It will be. They did the same thing with Bo Dallas, I think. Where Bo Dallas showed up on SmackDown right before he was promoted to debut on Raw.
You seem to recall that, yeah. But yeah, it's like anything that happens on SmackDown, you can't really say, oh, that's definitely what's going to air on TV, because they edit shit all the time.
Well, if you're watching Raw and all of a sudden the Raw ring looks like the SmackDown ring, you know what happened.
I remember one time a few years ago, they had to cut something out of SmackDown, and so they filled the time with a velocity match that they had taped beforehand. And so all the set was all still reading Velocity and stuff, and they had to like drop in a line saying, oh, here's an ad for Velocity that's on Saturday night and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, SmackDown. Next up, tag match for the Divas Championship. You know what my favorite kind of Bellas match is,
tag
Mike?
Tag match for the Divas Championship?
Did I say tag match? Singles match. Nikki Bella versus AJ Lee for the Divas title. Mike, do you know what my favorite kind of Nikki Bella match is?
A short one!
Especially one that ends with Brie Bella making out with AJ Lee.
What a strange match that was.
So is Brie a heel? I'm so confused. If only her husband had been on Raw to comment on such a thing so we could get some clarity.
We'll get to that Raw in a minute.
So... Mike, before we talk about the Survivor Series main event, I watched Survivor Series 2003 the day before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the match that JBL was like, you know, John Cena was sole survivor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm watching this, and the
by God, Michael!
By God, Michael! Michael, it was just John Cena! First off, that was a very good pay-per-view. I'd never seen it before. I really enjoyed that. Team Angle versus Team Lesnar is the opener, and Cena comes out and gets in the ring to start the match off and does, like, one of his rap promos. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big whistle, so blow me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, this would be so awkward if you were, like, you had your kid, and you were watching this on the network, and you had to explain to your kid why John Cena's rapping about blowing him, and that he used to be, like, a big asshole, now he's just kind of an asshole, but he used to be a huge asshole. And I'm like, how could this get any more awkward trying to explain this to your kid? So then Chris Benoit comes out. What a different era that show felt like.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even make the Bob Holly joke because Bob Holly is in that fucking match with Chris Benoit. Bob Holly was just eliminated twice, guys.
No, the, like 2002 to about 2005 era, mm-hmm. maybe even 2006, was a very strange period. Because they were kind of hanging on to Attitude Era, kind of not. There was guys that were, like, trying to get over next to guys who were trying to stay over. It was just a very, very odd time.
First, that was a very good pay-per-view. I just thought it was so funny when Bradshaw was like, John Cena was the sole survivor in 2003. I'm sitting here and I'm like, I watched that today. No, he fucking was not. Chris Benoit was with him, too. And you should know that. You were in the fucking match, JBL. They can't, of course, say that on the pay-per-view. But I was just like, that's fucking hilarious to hear them actually say.
No, he was the sole survivor because Chris Benoit doesn't exist anymore.
Womp, womp, womp.
He has been erased from canon.
Do you remember who all was in that match? Do you want me to run down the match for you? Oh, to just make you...
I really don't recall anything that happened on that show. I know team I watched it, but...
Team Angle, who I'm pretty sure were the face team. Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit, John Cena, Hardcore Holly, and Bradshaw. Team Lesnar is Brock Lesnar, The Big Show, Matt Morgan, Nathan Jones, oh, right. and A-Train.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
So the match starts, and I'm thinking, what a different company this feels like. And then the match comes down to John Cena and Chris Benoit versus The Big Show. And I'm like, maybe it's not that different.
Wait, Nathan Jones was in that?
Nathan Jones was in that. To give you an idea of the rest of the card, Molly Holly retained her title against Lita, who is coming back from a neck injury.
Right.
The Bashams retained against Los Guerreros.
Sweet.
Team Bischoff, Chris Jericho, Christian, Randy Orton, Scott Steiner, and Mark Henry defeated Team Austin, which consisted of Shawn Michaels, Rob Van Dam, Booker T, and the Dudley Boys for Austin's job.
I like how Team Austin was all of the alliance from 2 years earlier.
That was also the match where Shawn Michaels ate the final pinfall. Shawn Michaels also got busted wide the fuck up. Like, he's just covered in blood. Mm-hmm. And for the rest of it, like, because the next two matches after that, there's just blood all over everything.
I do remember that.
That also was the match where Vince McMahon defeated The Undertaker in a Buried Alive match. And Goldberg retained against Triple H after Goldberg took out Evolution with a sledgehammer.
Oh, right. That was the Buried Alive match where they buried Biker Undertaker so at WrestleMania he could come back as Deadman Undertaker.
Right. I thought that was the, because they were billing that Goldberg had a shattered ankle thanks to Batista. Because mm-hmm. Triple H had put a bounty on Goldberg or something. So it's like, Goldberg got a busted, you know, and he'd sell it every once in a while. Goldberg's got a busted ankle, and then he'd run and do a spear, and it's like, I think it's fine, guys.
He'd hobble to the ring and then lift Big Show.
Pretty much, he like got in the ring and he like kind of like hobbled on it a little bit, and then he hits Triple H with a jackhammer. I'm like, nah, I think he's good. Oh, yeah, also...
Because you don't need an ankle to press slam 300-pound people.
By the way, the pre-show match, which was on Sunday Night Heat,
mm-hmm.
Tajiri defeated Jamie Noble. Oh, Jamie Noble.
With Akio and Sakota, I brought it up on Wikipedia. God, Sakota didn't do much in WWF, did he? Fuck.
Just feels like a totally different era. So, yeah, the Survivor Series main event in 2014, Cena, Ziggler, Big Show, Rowan, and Ryback versus Rollins, Kane, Henry, Rusev, and Harper. The funniest tweet I saw about this was right after Big Show betrayed everybody and was walking backstage. Somebody was like, you know, Mark Henry's backstage right now yelling, so why'd that goofy motherfucker punch me in the face then?
Also, I guess Big Show and Mark Henry can be friends again.
Yay! Sorry I punched you, Mark. It's okay.
Do they still hate Rusev, or what? No? Okay.
Rusev's too busy being a heel that wins all his matches legit and never cheats.
But he's a monster about it, though.
But he's a monster about it. This is the thing. Watching the pay-per-view and watching Raw, I basically just regard Rusev as a face at this point. Yes, he comes out and talks shit about America, but he never cheats. He wins all his matches clean, and everybody cheats against him.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't he? Yeah, because he went out because of the table spot, right?
Yeah, he got counted out because they tried. Who was it? It was Ziggler. He tried to He tried to put Ziggler through a table, and Ziggler moved out of the
way.
Oh,
that's cheating. You can't put people through tables. Mm-hmm. He just cheated there. There you go. Heel.
Heel. Fucking heel. Never mind. Fuck it. Fucking I am disproven. I am disproven.
He's a Russian, and in one match, just to get him DQ'd, he had to put a guy through a table so that he wouldn't get pinned. Total fucking blown out.
I was looking forward to how they did that, because right before it, I'm like, there's no way in hell they're going to let any of these guys pin Rusev. Mm-hmm. Like, the only guy they would consider is John Cena, but they're not going to do that because they want them to have a feud.
Yeah, I was
how are they going to... I thought for sure what would happen would be when it got down to, like, the final two or three people, Lana would be like, nope, not worth it, we're leaving, and they would just walk out. That spot went to the Big Show, though.
I thought that they would do something where... to still keep him as a monster but get him out of the match is that he puts on his move, and after the guy submits or goes, passes out or whatever, he just keeps holding it on. The ref's telling him to let go, and he doesn't, so the ref DQs him.
Yeah. Something like that. So,
I knew it'd be some DQ thing. It wasn't going to be a legit pinning because they want to keep him undefeated.
So to run this down real quick, first off, right out the bat, less than a minute into the match, Mark Henry pinned after a knockout punch for the Big Show, which I thought was a really nice way to get Mark Henry out of the match.
Mm-hmm.
But then it also begs the question, why didn't you just put Big Show in the corner and have him stand there and wait? Just punch him all, Show.
Well, he can only use the punch, like, once every 20 minutes.
It has to recharge?
Yeah. It's got a cooldown period on it.
Can you hear it recharge? Ryback eliminated next by Rusev after a curb stomp from Rollins. Rusev couldn't eliminate Ryback without cheating. And boy, Ryback, the guy they hyped up as being in the match. Ryback, oh, who's Ryback? Gone, second.
Yeah, done. Second guy eliminated.
Later, bro. Next up, Rusev counted out after crashing through the announce table. Rowan eliminated after a diving high knee from Rollins and a discus clothesline. Look, did you notice Seth Rollins basically just spent the majority of the match jumping from turnbuckle to turnbuckle?
Oh, yeah, he was Spider-Man.
Oh, it was fucking great. Because it was like, it never got old. You'd be like, I think he's going to get the pin. And then from, like, the top of the screen comes Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Woo!
Ninja roll.
Next up, the most notable, most important elimination of the match. Halfway through the match, barely having been in the ring, John Cena eliminated.
Yeah, he was punched out by Big Show, pinned by who?
Rollins.
Rollins. And then Big Show walked out.
Yeah.
Leaving Dolph Ziggler against Rollins, Kane, and...
Harper.
Harper.
I did not see John Cena barely being in that match.
He must be injured.
No, what I think they're probably doing is they're saving him for TLC.
They didn't want him to get injured before TLC?
I think their plan is to have Lesnar come back at TLC for a match.
I was reading that the match was going to be John Cena, Seth Rollins, and someone else.
I've heard Orton. They're basically going to bring Orton back, and he's going to keep chasing Rollins.
Yeah, but I thought Orton was going to do... like the rumor was that he was going to do a run-in at the pay-per-view anyway.
Well, he was going to, and he was backstage, but they were like, we've got Sting.
No, I mean at TLC.
Oh, yeah, that's a possibility, too. Who knows? Yeah, supposedly he was backstage at Survivor Series, and they were like, we're going to have Orton do a run-in. And then somebody was like, why are we doing that? We have Sting. Why do we need another surprise? We're not going to top Sting. How shitty would that have been? Sting's in the... Oh, it's Randy Orton. Oh, he RKO'd Sting.
That would have been awesome, though. If Sting had, like, fucking come down from the rafters like he used to do, and as soon as he, like, sets foot in the ring, Orton slides in, RKOs him, and rolls away.
The crowd would be like, oh! Like,
oh my god, it's Sting RKO out of nowhere!
Half the crowd's like, what? And the other half's like, the fuck? As a friend of mine pointed out, if you go back and watch the pay-per-view, right when Triple H is in the ring beating down Ziggler, like, half the crowd is looking at the rafters trying to find Sting.
Mm-hmm.
Is he up there? Is he up there? I don't think that's going to happen at WWE. I don't think they have a good relationship with rafters these days, guys.
Well, it was in St. Louis, too. Isn't that the same arena?
I don't know, Mike. You run a wrestling Twitter.
I remember people's names. I know who fucking Sandman is. You didn't know that one.
No, it was Kansas City.
Okay.
Kansas City, St. Louis, same fucking place.
They're the
place.
Same place.
They're the same place. Who cares? Yeah, Ziggler by himself against Kane, Harper, and Rollins. And I figured it was just over. And Ziggler tore the fucking place down.
It's like, I figured at that point, it was gonna be like they were gonna have him eliminate at least one other guy to build suspense for the match, but I figured Rollins was gonna pin him.
Right.
And it was gonna be done. It's like he might have gotten rid of Kane or Luke Harper or maybe Kane's goiter. But but I figured Rollins was gonna get the win after that.
I hate you for pointing that out because that was all I could see when Kane was in there. I was like, God damn, what is that?
Yeah.
Ziggler pins Kane after a super kick and a zigzag. Did a roll up on Harper. And he's never gonna get that swamp ass smell off his arm. And so it comes down to Ziggler and Rollins, and I'm like, okay, he got those two out of the way, but they're basically jobbers to the stars. He's not gonna pin Seth fucking Rollins, Mr. Money in the Bank, the guy they've hyped as the future of the company. And, I mean, they fucking went at it for a good long while, and he almost had him on several occasions, and he fucking had the win, and then Triple H just starts yanking referees out of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done that for 20 minutes, and I would have probably just kept laughing. Just every time there was almost a three count, the ref just goes, yoink.
Of course, the way they finished it, it was a way to get the authority out of power, and Seth Rollins still looked good.
Yeah. Because
him and Ziggler were kicking the dog shit out of each other.
Oh my god, that was such a good match. So anyways, Triple H jumps in the ring and starts beating down on Ziggler. And actually, imagine if at your job, you were doing better than the guy the boss liked.
So the boss
beats the shit out of you and then uses your work to make the other guy look good. Triple H eliminates two referees, throws Rollins on top of Ziggler, and goes to count the pin himself. Just imagine your boss doing that. No, I'm going to do this myself. Fuck you. And then...
Well, you don't know how things were where I used to work. It was kind of like that.
Did you ever like show up to work and just trying to do your job? Your boss came down and gave you a pedigree?
Never gave me a pedigree, but I got written up a few times for doing shit that other people did.
That's just any job.
Like, why did you not clean this room? Because I wasn't working that day. Well, you're in trouble for it. Fuck, whatever.
I was literally not here. Yeah,
I wasn't even here to clean it. I guess you're right, I didn't clean it.
You are correct, and then it was not cleaned by me, but...
Why aren't you yelling at Jeff? Oh, because you like Jeff, that's right.
God damn it, Jeff Jarrett. So Sting comes out. They booked him slightly better than I was planning on. They at least showed him on the ramp. I wouldn't have done that.
The lights would have gone out. It would have just been like a tight shot of Triple H's face as Sting stands on the rafters and everyone loses their... Or stands on the stage and everyone loses their mind. And then he walked away.
Pay-per-view just ends. What's going on?
Off. You find out on Raw. Oh, yeah, Ziggler pinned Rollins and the Authority lost. But
it just...
After ended. A weird power outage.
So Sting jumps in the ring. Triple H has the best what-the-fuck-is-this-shit face.
He does.
He's, like, you could see him at one point. He just said, what the fuck? Sting shows up. The announcer sold it great, I thought. They were not like, it wasn't the typical kind of, oh my, it's, they were just, it's Sting, fuck. Holy shit, it's Sting.
Well, they had to sell it like that. It's like, most of the guys that they've brought over since WCW closed have had a little bit of hype behind them.
Right.
So it's like, Goldberg had a couple promos that he was coming in, NWO had like a month of build-up. But Sting, there was no build-up. So the only proper way to sell it wasn't really like, oh shit, look who showed up. It's like they had to lose their mind to get it over.
Imagine if your boss was beating you up because you weren't doing somebody else's work, and then, like, the favorite guy from the company across the street came in and helped you out. Like, imagine you work at McDonald's, right? And you're the fry guy at McDonald's, but they really like the dish guy. And they get pissed that you won't do the dish guy's dishes, but you refuse, so they beat you up. But then...
What sort of gangland McDonald's is this?
But then the head cashier from Burger King shows up and he beats up your boss for you and just leaves.
It'd be more than the head cashier. It'd be like if the Burger King king himself showed up.
Imagine if the king came in. It gave your boss a scorpion death drop. That would be amazing.
Why is Jerry Lawler giving the scorpion death drop to some poor McDonald's manager? I don't get your analogy, Chris.
I hate you so much. So yeah, Sting jumps in the ring, hits Triple H with a stinger, Scorpion Death Drop.
He hits a sting to he fucking reverse DDT.
It's a sting strike. It's a sting.
Stingling ding.
Somebody was like, it could have been worse. Imagine if Mike Adamley was calling this entrance. And I was like, it's Stang!
It's the Ultimate Warrior? I thought he died. What?
What?
Who's this guy?
It's just guy in face paint.
Oh, it's the Gold Crow. Dust. Oh.
The Crow is here. What? Yeah, Sting, Scorpion Death Drop to Triple H, throws Ziggler on top of Rollins. Ref wakes up and doesn't at all be like, that's Sting? Just counts the pinfall, so I guess he was ready to. He was like, "Fuck this shit, I'm going home, I'm done."
Like, I'm getting the pedigree next if I don't count this pin. So, I already got yanked out of the ring and punched in the face. I am not taking a pedigree for this shit.
So, I mean, we are talking a Survivor Series that felt more like a WrestleMania. We are talking the end of a fucking era, Mike. There's no more Winston. Well, I mean, there is Winston, but now it's when's he going to show up again?
Mm-hmm.
There's no more will Sting ever come to WWE. There's no more is Sting actually going to show up at this pay-per-view. He's just there now. It's just happened.
It actually made me really sad when, like, I was super excited to see Sting there. And then you posted something about, well, I guess now the WCW era is finally over because Sting showed up in WWE. The last guy is, he was there
somebody,
now.
Somebody pointed out to me, there's still La Parca. There's not going to be, there's nobody
There's another
else.
Name to throw on that Jerry Lynn pile that I was, or Jerry Flynn, sorry. Jerry Lynn actually did show up. Two different guys.
They would just have La Parca unmasked as Unico. it's just Sin Cara in a La Parca costume.
Yeah, fucking La Parca and the Vianos and Silver King can come there, I guess.
He grabs the chair and they're like, it's La Parca's signature, he's gonna play the chair! And then he like sits the chair down and plays it like a fucking a cello.
Like I don't think that's...
Yeah, no, he like sits down and starts playing it like a cello instead of a guitar. And they're like, I don't think this is what he did in WCW, guys.
I don't think this is the real La Parca.
I don't think this is the real La Parca. Is that Chris Jericho in a La Parca costume? Yeah, I mean, there's not another WCW guy on that scale who can come over now. It's done. It's over. Bye. See you, WCW.
Yeah, that actually made me kind of sad when you said that, and I got that realization that's like, wow, there are no more, like, big WCW names that it's like, when are they coming over? Or why haven't they come over? It's like, all of them have.
It's over.
It only took 14 fucking years, 14 but...
fucking years. I did post a really great kayfabe news article on Facebook. Sting was lost in traffic for 14 years. Showed up 14 years late for the invasion. He's like, wow, this sucks. Sting got stuck on the interstate, spent a few unpleasant years in Orlando, but finally made his way. Get it? Because TNA.
I figured that he just, like, thought that... Since WCW went under, he was hearing all these stories about how WWE was struggling financially, and it's like, well, this soundstage, I guess, is better than nothing, but I figured they were doing better than this, shit.
And then Sting, of course, didn't show up on Raw, but I was like, it took him 14 years to find his way to the Survivor Series pay-per-view. You think he was able to just find his way to Raw the next night? Vince is just like, here's a compass and a flashlight. We'll see you Monday night on a Raw, Stinger. And he's like, now he's in the desert. He's going to come back as Biker Sting.
Can he come out to Roland?
If they just trolled you so fucking hard. If they just Roland started up and Biker Sting comes out. Oh, I'd love it. I'd love it so fucking much.
It would have started out like Undertaker's old video where it's got like the creepy kids.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say Undertaker or anything. It's just Roland with the bell playing behind it. And then out comes Sting on a motorcycle.
They could troll the shit out of everybody because then he could, then he'll come out as Big Evil Sting with the sweatpants and the beanie. And then he'll lose a Buried Alive match. And everybody will be like, Crow Sting's finally here. No, because he's not going to be reborn as Crow Sting. Out comes Surfer Sting.
Surfer Sting.
50-year-old Surfer Sting.
Beer Crow gut Sting and a bald spot in that flat top, but it's Surfer Sting.
Sting, we can't help but notice every year that makeup goes back a little higher. In a shocking swerve, they just rehire Mr. Anderson and dress him up as Surfer Sting, because when they do that, you can't really tell the difference. I mean, other than the fact that when he talks, you can tell he's an obnoxious asshole.
Hey, I'm Sting.
The real exciting thing when he comes back from the Buried Alive match at Surfer Sting is that at WrestleMania that year, he has to reunite with his most legendary tag partner in history, RoboCop.
I was going to say, his tag partner died. You can't. You can't bring back the Blade Runners.
No, RoboCop. Maybe we turn the Ultimate Warrior into a cyborg.
Oh,
he's a RoboCop.
Robo Warrior. Oh, shit.
Just imagining, like, RoboCop's in the ring and grabs the robes.
The turnbuckle poles are just being yanked off the ground.
There's Sting, like, yeah!
Completely demolishes the ring from the rope shake.
RoboCop! Man, why won't they let us write for Raw? Speaking of which, the next night on Raw, they took all this goodwill from Survivor Series. All this, look how awesome we are now. We have Sting, and we had a really good pay-per-view. We better piss this away as fast as we can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it opens with a 15-minute Triple H promo, because why not? They're gone. Daniel Bryan comes out and talks for 15 minutes. And I love Daniel Bryan, and I was glad to see him again. And I guess it was better than a Triple H promo and that something actually happens. It wasn't just him rambling for 15 minutes. And then he just kind of went backstage and hung out for most of the night.
Yeah.
Hey, Bryan's our general manager. Fans have wanted him for months. We should probably involve him in the... No? No, he's... Okay, bye.
Yeah, his biggest contribution of the night after that was bullying Rusev into saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
Hiring Sergeant Slaughter to bully Rusev into saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
What was the most notable part of your general manager run, Daniel Bryan? I sent Sergeant Slaughter out to the ring to bully a Russian guy.
Yeah.
And again, Rusev's supposed to be the heel, but they put him out there, and Sergeant Slaughter comes out and harasses Lana, and he just takes her away, and it's like, which one am I supposed to be cheering for again?
Yeah, Sarge is really looking like an asshole here.
Yeah. They did finally put Rusev in his Battle Royale on SmackDown this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
He won it.
Everyone's like, okay, he didn't say it, so where's the Battle Royale?
Where's the Battle Royale? This would be great for Raw. No, we should do that on SmackDown. We have to have room for Larry the Cable Guy. God damn.
Fuck.
God damn it.
So that he can promote his sequel to a movie that has absolutely nothing to do with the first one.
Rusev won that Battle Royale, and most notably, again, won it clean. What a heel.
Yeah, that evil son of a bitch.
Goddamn Russians.
Yeah, if he was waving an American flag, he'd be fucking Hulk Hogan.
I know. Literally. Dye his hair blonde to give him an American flag. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference. Well, I mean, Hogan doesn't have Muay Thai. Be fun to watch him try, though. Oh.
Yeah, the only thing about Rusev that we're supposed to boo is the fact that he's Russian. If he was saying, go America, he would be fucking Hulk Hogan or John Cena or any of the other superhero go America guys that they've had over the last 30 years.
I can't wait for 20 years from now when Rusev starts making all the Hulk Hogan claims. You know, they asked me to play bass in Aerosmith.
Oh, come on, you can't think of a more contemporary band than Aerosmith?
You know, they asked me to play bass in Creed. Yeah, fuck it. We're going to go with Creed.
Well,
We're just going to go with Creed. Fuck it.
I think Rusev was only like 13 when Creed was around, but sure, we'll go with that.
In Russian years, he was 35. I mean, like, I don't want to run down the whole card of Raw, because it wasn't that great. No, Concessions Kane, there's a drop ball.
Made even more awkward by the very obvious security holding people back about 10 feet away from where they were shooting Concession Kane.
Like, we're just going to run and get some snacks real quick before the next match. What? Oh, we can't? Thanks, guys. Sorry, I'm reading these results, and it just got to the Rusev section, and it's, Rusev is the hero we need, but not the one we deserve. I'm kind of confused, too. Why is Kane, now the director of food and beverage, taking orders from an 18-year-old girl? I was like, wait, he's your fucking boss. And then the chips thing, like, you're fucking telling me Kane can't afford a chip?
He's been one of their biggest draws for fucking almost 17 years.
Sorry, I can't afford this bag of chips.
Yeah, that was it is like arena prices. They jack those things up.
Oh, right.
That's like a $12 bag of chips.
And then Big Show came out. Fun fact, on his way out of the arena last night, heading home, Big Show turned face again. But then when he came to the arena that night, he couldn't find a parking space, turned heel.
Oh, God. That fucking promo.
Nothing makes me more excited than a Big Show promo where he gets stopped and put in his place by Eric Rowan.
What are they doing with Eric Rowan? I actually kind of like his new music.
I like both their music. Harper's Titantron kind of creeps me out. Eyes, just fucking eyes. Eyes everywhere.
The thing about that that confuses me is that most Titantrons eventually get around to, like, saying the person's name.
His doesn't. It's just
eyes. Just eyes. Just repeating footage of, like, the same six clips of close-ups of his eyes. It's very, yeah. Very bizarre.
Very strange. Brie Bella versus AJ Lee up next. This one's funny. So AJ told them talent wasn't sexually transmitted, and I watched the internet just lose fucking hypocrite. It's like, no, she was...
Yeah.
She was pretty awesome before she was fucking punk.
I made that comment, too. It's like, what hypocrite? She was one of the best female wrestlers they had well before her and punk were even a thing.
And is it any coincidence that on a night where Daniel Bryan is charged, his ex-girlfriend gets in a wrestling match with his wife? Hey, he's got to get that strength back in that right arm somehow.
Again, right there would have been a great point for Bryan to come out. Yeah. Like, Brie, what the fuck? And
even just like a backstage segment. Just like, you know, the backstage segments. They do them every other fucking week where she just wanders into the office and he's like, well, Brie, you're being kind of a bitch.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, it's just Primo.
With her techno chicken song. We're not going to turn this into the clucking podcast. That's the new name after episode 50.
Cluck this.
The clucking podcast.
So next up, John Cena and Ziggler. I mean, not next up. We're not talking about two bunny matches on this podcast. Cena and Ziggler versus Seth Rollins and two fan-voted opponents. I was like, please vote for anybody but Noble and Mercury so this falls in their fucking faces. That would be so goddamn funny. Like, oh, it's Kane and Mark Henry. Well, okay. Come on down.
Except
guys.
Those voting things are...
Rigged as shit?
Oh, yeah. They're rigged more than American politics.
Yeah. So, first off, this is fucking stupid. I'm supposed to believe Noble and Mercury are idiots. I believe you ran down their credentials on Twitter.
Well, just like Joey Mercury has been a tag team champion in just about every place that he's been.
Right.
And go look him up on Wikipedia. There's a whole list of accomplishments that he's had. Jamie Noble, cruiserweight champion, not much of a thing. Ring of Honor champion, that's kind of a thing.
Let's see here. In WWE, Joey Mercury is a 3-time tag champ.
Yeah, just in WWE.
Yeah, Jamie Noble is a 1-time cruiserweight champ, just in WWE. But I mean, goddamn, Joey Mercury has a lot of titles.
Yeah.
You
forget, like, looking at him, you don't really realize that he's been in the business for like 15 years.
Oh, he was the OVW champ. He was a tag champ in OVW with Johnny Nitro, who I think he held all three of... Did he hold all three of his tag titles with Morrison?
Sure, yeah.
Mercury and Morrison.
Because it was his M&M, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, Noble, Ring of Honor, World Champion. I mean, like, these are two, like, very accomplished ring technicians. These were the guys who were in that Dolph Ziggler position of, I'd like to see this guy in the main event, but they're just never going to break that glass ceiling.
I don't know that I'd go that far with either of them.
Well, these were guys in your mid-card. They were your upper mid-card.
They were good guys, but...
solid hands.
I wouldn't say that I was even... I can't say that I was clamoring for Jamie Noble to be in the world title picture.
But now, I mean, I'm supposed to believe that they're fucking clueless.
Yeah.
And I get it, they're goons and whatnot. But then this has another repercussion there. Because now that Cena and Ziggler are your two big heels, and they're basically beating up one guy and two morons.
You mean baby faces?
Yeah. What did I say?
You said heels.
Fuck it. But they're basically heels in my eyes now. Rusev's a face, and Cena and Ziggler are the biggest heels in the fucking company because they're beating up two guys who supposedly don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Well, it's like during the whole Austin McMahon feud, it's like Austin's beating up a 60-year-old man and his two, like, 70-year-old idiot supervisors or whatever the fuck.
As I pointed out, if you wanted that match to feel not like a handicap douchebag fuck you match, like just Ziggler by himself against Rollins with Noble and Mercury, and you could add a beat up on both of them and then get his hands on Rollins for a little bit, I would have been perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You put John Cena in the mix, and now it's like, well, now you're just being a dick.
Yeah. It's like, these guys don't have any chance against John Cena.
Mm-hmm. Rollins by himself, I don't think, has been able to beat John Cena.
I don't know if they've had a singles match.
I don't think they have, actually. I'm trying to think. Anyways. But, oh, man.
Yeah, the biggest tragedy, though, was just the fact that they have this huge debut at Survivor Series, and they do fuck all to follow it up.
No. The biggest tragedy was the last minute of Raw, when the fucking anonymous Raw GM came back. You want me to believe that podium was just there? It's not been there for 2 years, and it's just there, and nobody thought to look to the side and go, hey, that's interesting. Why is that there? It just fucking materialized.
And well, the thing about that was how surprised, like, when the email sound went off, and Michael Cole's even at the announce table, like, what the fuck? What's that? What's that noise? What's going on? And then they look over and see that, and he immediately stands up again and is like, I have an email from the anonymous GM. It's like, just a second ago, you had no fucking clue what was happening, and now you're running up to read the email.
How stupid do they think we are? Pretty stupid. They think we're pretty fucking stupid.
Pretty fucking stupid.
Maybe
it won't be revealed to be Hornswoggle this time.
Goddamn, bro. They followed Survivor Series up with an episode of Impact, is what they did.
I'd absolutely love it if the anonymous GM turned out to be Sting.
That's kind of what I figure it's going to go to be.
But it's like, for the next 2 or 3 months, leading up to WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's have him have a match at WrestleMania and be done with the GM at that point. If he was, like, booking WCW-style matches, after right. Triple H was like, there was a place where the inmates ran the asylum, it was called WCW, and you know what's happened to them. Mm-hmm. If they were, like, the fucking, like, 49ers match, all the worst WCW shit. Shockmaster shows up.
Oh my god, yes. Do it. Book it. Make it happen.
And then Triple H comes out and is like, no, this has to fucking stop. This has to stop. And then you get Sting and Triple H at WrestleMania.
So that's wrestling. Let's get to Power Rangers real quick.
We're an hour into this.
I know, that took way longer than I thought. Power Rangers isn't going to take that long.
No, Power Rangers is not going to be not the big spectacular.
Fucking not fucking great. So you've watched them. You've watched the finale.
I did watch the finale. I didn't get to see the extended cut, but from what I've seen, I didn't miss anything.
You didn't miss shit with the extended. You missed a bunch of shit that should have been in the fucking original version.
But nothing that really like changes the story.
I mean a little bit in that here's what's in the extended version of the finale. I mean real quick, here's your finale. It was a 2-part finale. Starts with Orion leaving. And as I pointed out, that's a little fucking ridiculous. The episode before, Robonite will live in Orion forever. There will always be a Robonite on our team. First minute of the very next episode. Well, I'm going home, guys. Bye, everybody.
I guess we're done. Bye.
Well, guess this is over with. We sure beat the shit out of all those guys. at which point, Gosei's like, no, there's still a bunch of them. So,
the war's done. Orion. What about Emperor Mavro? Ah, fuck it.
Yeah.
You guys can handle him. You don't need him.
No. Here's what you should be thinking. What about that guy Troy heard when he got held captive that we haven't killed yet? That's the Emperor. I heard him. You didn't.
No.
You didn't think to mention that? You didn't think that was him? Hey, there was another guy. Didn't think that was. No. Whatever. So, Ryan leaves. The Power Rangers are all like, ooh, yay, we're gonna. Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. We're gonna relax. and then, fucking Earth gets its shit ate. what was the villain's name that showed up? I can't remember her fucking name. Lavera shows up.
I can't remember the guy, the fish guy that, like, replaced her for an episode and a half.
I don't either.
Mavro's general.
So here's a fun fact. During the Lavera fight, they had the morphing sequence where Troy turned into the Red Mighty Morphin Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
Noah was the Blue Lightning Ranger, which I think is which one is that? Five Man?
I don't. This time they used pre-Zoo Ranger Sentai, but actually gave them names this time instead of let's be these ones.
Well, it was the Lightning, Supersonic, Blitz, and Prism Ranger.
Yeah,
and So here's
generic
the thing.
Names, but I did appreciate that they actually gave them some sort of names.
Here's the thing, though. They turned into the four, except for Troy, who turned into the Red Mighty Morphin Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
The original Gokaiger footage was those four, but Marvelous turned into Voleagle. So they refilmed that so they could put Marvelous, so they could put Troy in a Saban Ranger, and we're like, we don't need to change the other four. Are you fucking serious?
Oh, God.
Like, they even, like, just kind of superimposed Mighty Morphin Red over the Sun Vulcan Red in the fucking transformation sequence. Why would you do that?
Well, I think then, because they could just reuse the Gokaiger footage for most of that fight.
Yeah.
But then, like, also give the kiddies something they can recognize from 20 fucking years ago.
Spent so much goddamn money refilming shit like that, and then still, like, throwing in the original Sentais. So stupid. So stupid. And then, you know, they go to have the Zord fight, and Orion's Q-Rex Zord is there, and they're just like, thank God we can control it! Like, why did you have Orion leave?
Yeah, this would have been made so much simpler by just keeping Orion around.
By just throwing in a scene where he, like, walks up and goes, oh shit, I guess I should help them, instead of explaining, oh, he just left.
He left, and we can control his Zord through remote.
Bye. So that ends with Earth getting its shit rocked, and Orion hears it, and he's like, why did I leave? I should probably turn around and go back. Good fucking job,
Orion. The thing I loved about that was, going back to Lavera, is that she's given, like, another chance to redeem herself, gets her own fucking Zord, goes down to Earth, and, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah,
she gets just her ass kicked. Zord blown up, she's destroyed, thanks for fucking coming.
Have a good night. So this leads into our finale. Our Rangers are beat, and they're taking naps in the rubble.
Mm-hmm. Rubble nap.
The finale opens with all the legendary Rangers running around doing non-legendary Ranger stuff.
A fairly dark few minutes.
Yeah.
People actually, like, being buried under rubble and needing to be helped out as their legs are crushed under, like, light posts and shit.
Like, as an intro to these characters, because you have, like, Carter and Dana are, like, helping the guy who's trapped under the post, which I thought was fucking hilarious. We're going to get this big heavy thing off you, sir. You're fine.
You're good.
You're cool. You're cool. Listen, we're going to go, like, over here now. Leo saves that dog from the rubble, which I thought was also funny. Is my dog okay? Yeah, he's cool. Here. Bye. Cassie and TJ are saving some guys in elevators.
Why were Cassie and TJ just in this elevator shaft?
Why were they just in this elevator? Tommy, I thought, was the best. There's a kid stuck in a car. Tommy just drops from heaven, lands on this car, and he's like, give me your hand. And the kid's like, I can't, I'm New Zealand. Tommy's like, here, hold my giant fucking sword that I'm not going to use again for the rest of this episode.
Yeah, gives him Saba. And they flash the White Ranger helmet on him, even though later he's going to be Green Ranger.
Which begs the question, it's like, why would you choose the Green Ranger over the White Ranger?
Yeah, remember how much trouble you had with the Green Ranger powers? Constantly running out?
But that's us being, like, really nerdy and nitpicky, so we shouldn't touch on that.
No, it's supposed to be a nostalgia trip and a Green Ranger instead of, like, the Green Ranger fucking sucked. He looked cool because he had a shield and looked different than the other five, but for fuck's sake, he was awful.
You looked really cool, and then you're like, first five episodes, you were great, but then you were, like, you were only around for the last 2 minutes of an episode, and then when you were around longer than that, you were just getting your ass kicked. Your big finale was you hit in a cart of watermelons. Remember that?
Yes!
Because his helmet blended in with the watermelons.
And
even as a kid, I'm like, I don't think that works like that, guys. And then you have, not helping anybody, Damon and Wes, just kind of staring, and Caron standing ominously in the background.
Yeah, chilling with a bunch of, now homeless people.
Man, if only we had been Power Rangers to help them. Oh, wait a minute.
I missed Wes the first time I watched it, because, I was like typing mock shocked that I was seeing everyone. And I saw Damon first and went over to type, "Hey, it's Damon!" And when I looked back, they were showing Corone, and I completely missed Wes standing there.
So this leads to the Rangers regrouping. We got our asses kicked. We're going to beat them next time. Yeah, that's the spirit, guys. Jake expressed concern their Zords were blown up, and I'm like, they're fine. The Dinozords crawled out of a literal volcano one day after they got blown up. You're fucking fine. But to its credit, the finale did do one thing that I really love, and I know this is contradictory to everything Power Rangers. It did not have a finishing Zord fight.
Yeah.
Which I can understand why, because that's a lot of fucking Zords to throw in there. And there is no, like, Sentai Zord footage from the Legendary Battle, because a lot of the original Sentai don't have Zords.
But didn't they have a scene where a lot of the guys, like, a lot of the Zords showed up together? I remember seeing pictures of that. I haven't seen the Great Hero Battle yet, so...
I don't think so.
But I remember seeing pictures of, like, 14 or 15 different Zords, different Megazords, well, now, like, all together in a city.
There was a Gokaiger movie where they got Zord keys, I think, that let them turn into different Zords. You may be thinking of that.
Maybe.
And they probably could have repurposed that if they really wanted to, but I'm glad they didn't. I get that it's a trope of Super Sentai, and I get that it sells toys, but the Zord fight to me always feels so kind of rushed and tacked on. Oh, we gotta get big now, throw it together, and we're done. So, I did not mind it of that. So,
Here, I'm gonna send you an image. You can choose to put it in the show notes if you want. Unsafe? What? That's not unsafe.
Aha! Fuck you for trying to send me a virus. So Redker was the name of the fish guy.
Okay. Yeah, there's images here of a bunch of Zords together from that movie.
We can Google those later. You can Google those at home if you want to.
I'm Googling it right now.
That's what she said.
I'm gonna hang up on you.
Orion shows up, I believe, as you pointed out, in a completely different ship from the one he left in.
Mm-hmm. Where he got this new ship from? Fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it. Who cares? They come back, they fight everybody. Troy and Orion are like, "What can we do?" And Orion's like, "What if we just fly my ship into them? That's a great idea. You can land this thing without crashing." Yeah, absolutely. Immediately crashes. which gives us the footage of Marvelous and Guy fighting the Emperor. I thought the end of this, because in the end, in Gokaiger, when they blow up the ship and Marvelous and Guy fall out, they have the, I think it was Sun Vulcan? No. I can't remember which Sentai it was. The one that was birds.
Mm-hmm.
And they float to the ground. And I fully expected them to just fucking reuse that footage, because they clearly don't fucking care. No, they refilmed it with them being red and silver Space Rangers.
Which I liked.
I liked that. I thought that was a really nice touch. You hadn't really seen the Space Rangers during the anniversary season. Mm-hmm. Of course, you didn't see a lot of the Rangers during the anniversary season, because they dropped that fucking ball pretty hard.
Yeah.
They dropped that ball so hard that Go Ranger could use it as a finisher.
Oh! That's a nerdy fucking reference, Chris. That's a super nerdy fucking reference.
This is a super nerdy podcast. So this, of course, leads to the legendary finale. Legendary battle or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Where all the legendary Rangers show up with all of the other Rangers.
The equivalent of a giant putty fight.
Yeah. Most notable to me was when they show Carter and Dana and you see Titanium Ranger in the background with the helmet all kinds of wrong. And it's like, you literally are the company that created that and you don't remember what it looks like.
I don't even remember what he looked like. I don't think I noticed him.
The visor that was on the inside of the mouthpiece that was inside of the helmet,
right,
is on the outside of the visor.
I have to look him up now. Keep talking.
So they all come out. Everybody who wasn't a Power Ranger samurai gets a line or two. Sorry, Mike and Emily. Fuck you, though. And this leads to, as you mentioned, the biggest putty fight in Power Rangers history. Which includes such wonderful tropes as Tommy's voice being superimposed over the green samurai Ninja Ranger. You noticed that, right?
No!
When they have the samurai, all the Ninja Rangers are fighting, and the green samurai Ranger's there, and they just superimpose Tommy's kiyos over it.
Because
you weren't supposed to notice. They're green and wearing gold shields.
They're the same guy! They're the same guy. They're
basically the same person. And of course, as I mentioned to you on Twitter, my favorite, oh my god, what the fuck moment... Robo Knight, good to have you back, buddy. Wait, what? He's dead.
He died saving Ryan.
You did a You did a whole story 2 episodes ago where he died, and it was a big fucking deal, and you were all like butthurt, depressed, and sad about it, and now, no, I'm just back.
Yeah, the whole, don't worry, he lives inside Orion, and he'll always be with us. Yeah, he'll always be with us because he's fine. He's not hurt at all.
I really wish that when he had been like, Robonite, good to have you back, buddy, Orion would have been like, it's me, man.
No, I turned into him. Because, you know, this is a stronger suit than that fucking, like, spandex thing.
This thing's made of armor.
So, I turned into this. It's me. Sorry.
Good to see you, buddy. God damn it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I just looked up the, Oh, God.
It's like, you literally made that costume. You are responsible for the creation of that suit.
It's even tagged on the wiki as the misassembled Titanium Ranger helmet.
How do you fuck it up that bad?
Oh.
So they defeat all the putties, and Tommy's like, it was so great to work with you. And you can almost hear all the other Rangers like, why the fuck are you talking for us? They're not going to take their helmets off. They're horribly deformed and old, but I am still young and vital because I am the original Green Ranger. So Tommy's like, you did awesome. We're always going to be with you. And then every single prior Power Ranger commits suicide and goes into space. Like, that's a really cool scene until you stop and you're like, what the fuck did they just do exactly? Like, where did they go? Like, is a future episode going to be like the Rangers go to Mars and, like, TJ and Cassie are there like, we fucking miscalculated pretty hard, guys.
Hey, we landed on the way wrong planet. Shit. Yeah.
This isn't Earth at all.
Now, the thing that drove me nuts about the episode was, how are the Mighty Morphin, Zeo, Turbo, and Space Rangers all together?
Like, props. They took the care to not put any multiple forms of Tommy there. But yeah. It's like, guys, no, seriously, that's like three of the same people right there.
There are quite a few that could not be together on the battlefield because they are the same people. They could pick one or the other.
One or the other.
But not all.
Yeah. Osabon.
Wow, I didn't even notice how badly they fucked up this helmet.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, isn't it?
Wow.
Oh, it's bad. It's little things like, and did you see the back of Tommy's shield like I was talking about?
Mm-mm, but I was kind of marking out a little bit to it.
There's like a very, very clear shot of it when he's walking towards Troy and them. Mm. It's just, like in the back it's pointy just like the front, but it doesn't have the diamond on it. It's like, how? How do you fuck that up? How do you have this many years of this much footage of that same costume and every year you manage to fuck that up?
What I don't get is why did they bother digitally changing the silver bits that they added on the helmet?
Because Jason David Frank pitched a fucking fit about it.
Because who gives a shit? Why didn't he pitch a fit when he was there filming it, having the helmet in his hand and say, hey, could you fucking spray paint this shit green so I can have a green helmet?
And you notice there was one shot where they did digitally alter it, too.
Oh, God.
It's like thanks, guys.
Sabanda. Haha, I will show Jason Frank.
Haha, fuck you.
I will not do it. I don't know why he's French.
So the extended version of the finale, too. Basically, here's what you get. When they're fighting Red Kerr at the end there, you have the... It's all just repurposed Gokaiger footage, obviously. None of it is, like, originally filmed stuff, as best I can tell. Right. You have the bit where Guy turned into the Green Ranger, and then Marvelous turned into the Red Ranger and put on the Dragon Shield.
Right.
And then you have... When all the Legendary Rangers have taken their helmets off at the end, they all, like... It was originally just, like, they showed two or three of them putting their helmets back on. They all get, like, a close-up, and they put their helmet back on. And Corone actually gets, like, a flash of Astronema, like the Ranger helmets over her. Which was
clips of that, yeah.
Yeah. I love being a Power Ranger. And then they flash her evil, because fucking kids aren't confused enough already.
Like, we get that she's a Pink Ranger, but who's that with the purple hair? Why is that a thing?
What's going on? So confused. And then, most notably, because this is the one that I was like, that should have really been in the finale. The sequence from Gokaiger where the Emperor shows up on Earth like, hey, totally didn't die in that fucking crash. And then they morph into every single Sentai to defeat him. That big, like, sequence where they went back and forth and morphed into, like, one from every year.
Mm-hmm.
That is in the extended finale. Like, that's kind of a big scene. That probably should have been in the finale, guys. That probably should have been in there. I mean, if you want to just write it out where the Emperor goes out like a fucking punk and just dies in a wreck, that's fine too, but pick one.
Yeah, if they would have, like, maybe cut out 5 minutes of the giant putty battle. And
why
the
giant putty battle was only 5 minutes. I mean, they would have had to cut the
thing. Well, and maybe cut 5 minutes of the guys just showing up at random to rescue people.
Maybe that could have been the penultimate episode instead of spending 20 minutes talking about Orion leaving. Maybe just, like, skip that whole fucking clusterfuck from the get-go.
Yeah, cut out the first half of the previous episode. Leave Orion on Earth.
Because then you can do, like, a big finale that's all about the giant putty fight and really use those legendary rangers that you paid fucking money to fly to goddamn New Zealand. I'm just kidding. They didn't pay them to fly to New Zealand.
Those are all New Zealand actors that live there, and they were like, here, put on a suit. Here's $20 and a piece of shrimp.
I hope I don't get stuck in a car. Jason David Frank was like, I'll save you, buddy. Don't worry. So that's your Power Rangers finale.
But honestly, like, we give it shit. It's a kid's show.
This is the way I look at it. As just a regular season on its own merits, Megaforce and Super Megaforce aren't great, but, I mean, they're certainly not the worst Power Rangers has ever done. They're tolerable. As an anniversary season, it drops the ball fucking hard.
It really does.
But as somebody pointed out, the key difference you have here is Gokaiger was so much goddamn fun. And we both love Gokaiger.
Mm-hmm.
But Gokaiger happened because they wanted Gokaiger to happen. They said, we want to do an anniversary season, and this is what we're going to do. Super Mega Force happened because they said, this is the footage we have.
Right. They were kind of hamstrung by the gimmick of Gokaiger.
Yeah. I imagine if Gokaiger was not such a blatant, massive anniversary season, we wouldn't have seen anything this year. Because it's only the 20th anniversary. Nobody gives a shit about the 20th anniversary.
I do.
Well, for 25, we might see something, but and even historically, I think for the 15th anniversary, it was Forever Red. I don't know what they did for the 10th anniversary.
No, 10th was Forever Red. 15th
Once a Ranger. That's right. So they historically don't do, like, big anniversary seasons.
Yeah, the 15th anniversary was Bokenger, which was Operation Overdrive over here. And they did essentially the same thing. It was like a two-part episode where the, like, five or six former Rangers show up, and it's like, hey, guys, here's our anniversary crossover. Yeah.
And I think the usage of the legendary Rangers is what really hurts this one.
You mean the not usage of them?
Exactly. Because you had in, like, the first few episodes of the season, you had Jaden and Casey showed up. And that was it. Those were your legendary Rangers that showed up until the finale.
Casey, as far as I know, the only Disney-era Ranger to show up this entire season.
Yes. He's the only one. I got the page pulled up. So, not a terrible season. Like you said, we give it a lot of shit, but it's Power Rangers.
And yeah, it's cheesy and stupid, but it's Power Rangers. It's kind of why we like it. And it's like I've said, it's a kid's show, so a lot of the, like, bigger plot points where they kind of forget about it. It's like it's aimed at a demographic that would probably forget about it.
Right. I mean, like, you and I give shit about Robo Knight showing up at the end because to us it's like, that's a huge fucking oversight. He literally just died.
Yeah, kids are probably like, oh shit, he didn't die.
Kids are like, thank God Robo Knight's back. Yeah. I can play with my Robo Knight toy now. So, I mean, good on them. It's easy for us to talk shit about it, but we're also old. I mean,
not everyone writes their Rangers as paraplegics.
Not everybody just has... Well, I was about to say, not everybody has everyone show up for no fucking reason, but I guess Super Mega Force just did that.
Yep. Mine was more of a Power Rangers than your one.
The whole point of mine was that it wasn't that much of a Power Rangers. Hey, there are some new Legacy toys coming out real quick, by the way.
Did more? You know that? The season's done.
Planned right now, there's a movie Legacy Power Morpher that has a Falcon Zord and a Tiger Zord coin with it. And it's like silver or something?
Okay.
A Legacy Saba, Legacy Thunder Zord, and there was something else I saw that was interesting. I mean, the Legacy movie figures we've talked about. Maybe that was it.
Yeah, which I liked the movie designs in the movie. These action figures look kind of bizarre.
Right.
It's like those things look good in motion as an action figure. It, like there's a lot of red on there.
Yeah.
Why is he so red?
There's not a lot breaking that up on any of them. So yeah.
Yeah. They were very cheaply designed costumes.
But anyway.
Anyways, yep. Now we get to get ready for Dino Charge.
Yeah.
Give it. You know, I never finished Kyoryuger, so I started watching it again last night.
I don't think I made it past the first episode.
Do you realize
one,
how many...
The one guy was dancing with a gun, and yeah. I was like, no, I can't. I can't do this.
Off. I mean, like, there's some really good things about Kyoryuger that we're not going to see in Dino Charge, obviously. Like, the team not necessarily liking each other at the very beginning I thought was really cool. Like, not knowing who each other was and not really giving a shit about each other. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we're not going to see near as much gunplay. They've, as best I can tell, they've aped the... Well, no, because they're calling the gun the Dino Charge Morpher on the toy, so I don't know. I'm sure the gunplay will be toned down.
Well, we thought the gunplay was going to be toned down in Super Mega Force 2, and they used the guns quite a bit.
There's going to be a shitload of fucking Dino Charge toys, though.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, like, just watching it last night, it's like they had a gun, they had a sword, the sword could turn into an attachment for the gun, turn the gun into a rifle, they all had a different fucking arm weapon thing they held. They had the fucking beast batteries things that would summon the Zord, and there's like, I think there's like 60 of these fucking beast batteries that each have their own kind of Zord tied to them or something. And that's just the first three episodes.
Yeah, and over the course of the series, there's about 14 fucking Rangers.
Yeah.
So, I don't know anything about Kyoryuger, so I'm actually sort of interested in this because, like, I went into Super Mega Force having seen all of Gokaiger, and I think that sort of affected how much I liked Super Mega Force.
Right.
Because I went in expecting one thing, even though, like, conventional wisdom told me it's not going to be that, and I kept trying to remind myself and everyone else, like, I know we really liked Gokaiger, but it was not going to be that, and so stop comparing it to Gokaiger. But this one, I'm going in completely fresh, so right. I'm wondering how it's going to go.
I will say there is already footage of the guy that is the blue Dino Charge Ranger with the gun prompt from Dino Charge doing the Kyoryuger morph.
With the weird dance?
Yeah. I don't even hate the dance on Kyoryuger. It's that fucking, like, song that plays when they dance or when the Zords combine. That it's so fucking annoying. And when the Zords form, it plays, like, fucking 10 times in a row.
Oh, wow.
Stop, please. No more. It's bad. But I'm sure we'll talk more about Dino Charge in the future.
Yep.
Because Super Mega Force is, thank God, it's done.
And because it is done, over on my YouTube channel in about 3 weeks, because it's going to finish, or it's going to start after I'm done with Lollipop Chainsaw, I am doing a Let's Play of Super Legends.
Really?
Yes.
I
dug out my PS2, the game was like right next to it, and I was like, why not?
I have almost done that one numerous times, but I played a little bit of the PC version and did not care for it.
And it's a standard beat-em-up.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot to it, but the Zord battles are fucking atrocious. But, yeah, I'm going to give it a go. So that's something to look forward to on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/NoDiceMike.
Yeah, and over on my channel, there's Amazing Spider-Man. And there was going to be a Lords of Shadow playthrough, but Konami is like, nope. There's a content ID match on it. Prevents me from monetizing it.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, and I've been trying to find a contact for Konami so I can get permission to do it so that I don't, like, so I can at least do it and not worry about, like, getting my channel aped.
See, I was going to say, like, yeah, we couldn't monetize Mortal Kombat either, and guess what happened?
Yeah.
I was thinking you should just go for it, but okay, if there's actually a content ID match.
I can monetize Mortal Kombat.
Right, but I was saying that, like, with this, yeah, you should just put it up, like, and see what happens, but I didn't know, yeah, you'd already done that.
Yeah, I uploaded it just to see what would happen, and got a content ID match for a cutscene.
For music in the background?
No, for visual content, for the actual cutscene.
Really?
It doesn't just check music, it also, like, checks visual content.
Well, I know it does that on some things, but that kind of surprises me, because yeah. I've only ever been nailed for music.
So, if I can get in touch with somebody at Konami and get permission to do it, I may still do it. For right now, it's probably going to go on the back burner. I don't know what I'm going to do instead. I'm going to focus on finishing Spider-Man. I thought about doing The Last of Us, but I can't find anywhere where Sony's like, yes, please do Let's Plays.
Well, I've seen a bunch of people do it, and it's fine.
Yeah.
As far as I know. I haven't seen anyone get nailed for it, so.
Yeah. So I'm kind of like looking and trying to figure that out. Well, I'll deal with that probably tomorrow or something. But we will be back next week.
Yay!
What are we going to talk about next week, Mike?
Not a fucking idea. We've got no Power Rangers or wrestling to talk about.
Maybe Sting will come back.
Maybe.
I don't know. Thanks for listening, everybody. Support us on Patreon, please. Patreon.com/roomfullofnerdstuff.
Give us money!
We'll see you all next week.
Bye!
Bye.